Tonight's scripture reading is found in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Sometimes I think it helps to go back to the basic, back to the simple, because those are the things that we kind of forget, that we lose track of, that we lose sight of in the day-to-day things. I love the story about, and I think I might have shared it with you before, about the daddy walked into his little girl's bedroom one evening. She was on her knees before her bed saying her prayers, and she had her little hands clasped in front of her, and she was saying, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, just reciting the alphabet over and over. When she finished, her daddy said, What were you doing? She said, Well, sometimes I don't know what to say, but I just say the letters and I know God knows what I mean. Sometimes we need to learn the basics about how to pray. One of the real challenges that I used to have and still occasionally run into with young men particularly, although occasionally it's some of the older guys who haven't done it a whole lot, I'll say, would you lead a prayer tonight? Oh, I don't know how to do that. Really? Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't lead a prayer. I don't know how to do that. Well, do you talk to God? Well, I get. We need to learn to pray. And it's not just us. Apparently, so did the early disciples. In fact, in Luke's account of this same situation, he begins in Luke 11:1, the disciples ask Jesus for help. Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So we can't just assume that we know how to pray. Most people don't. And in answering that request, Jesus is telling his disciples then, he's telling us, how to approach God. Now, the verses that were read and the ones in Luke, the same account, are often mischaracterized and mislabeled as the Lord's Prayer. That's a misunderstanding by the world. If you want the Lord's Prayer, look at the various times throughout the Scripture where he actually prayed. Those were his prayers. This is better known as, and many people know it, as the model prayer. Here's a model for you to use to build your prayers, your conversations with God. And he tells us not so much what to say, but how to organize our thoughts. If you've been in a classroom or you've been in a business situation, you learn how to outline. And that's what this is. It's an outline. And I'd like to go through a list of this outline tonight. Jesus tells us to start our talk with God with praise. Look what he says in verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Not just praise, but he tells us who to praise, our Father who is in heaven. Why do we praise God? What is it about God that makes us need to praise him? We'll start with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created. He brought something out of nothing. He just spoke the word. We can't imagine that power. We can't begin to imagine that might. Our minds are too finite to grasp the might and the power and the amazing strength of God, of this being that we stand before. Some years ago, I was privileged to be able to, well, while we lived up there in Northern Kentucky, I was able to go several times to the Creation Museum. If you ever get a chance, I recommend you go to the Creation Museum and to the Ark Encounter. If you get there, look and see on the big wall where they've presented the what they call the plan of salvation, see if they got Mark 16:16 in there yet. I've been working on that. But regardless, one of the things in the Creation Museum that is just amazing that I don't want to miss is the planetarium. I don't know if you've been in a planetarium before or not. But you go in and you sit down in this big dark room with a domed ceiling and lean back in this comfortable chair, and they start showing the universe, the stars. And they begin with where Earth is. And here we are on Earth. And then it begins to zoom out further and further. And more stars come into view. And the voiceover talks about which stars these are. Here's the Big Dipper, and here's the Little Dipper, and here's the North Star. As they're talking about where these stars are and how far apart these stars are, they keep zooming out and zooming out until all you can see is just a sea of tiny little lights, more than you can begin to count. And space and time and distances that are just unimaginable to me. Our God created that. Our God had the power, has the power to speak, and all that came into being. And with all of that, He loves me. He loves you. We need to praise God. When we come before Him, we need to acknowledge that we are before a great and wonderful King. I have a good friend who's the world's biggest Clint Eastwood fan. I mean, he knows every line of every movie that Clint Eastwood ever wrote, directed, acted in. He is a Clint Eastwood fan. Huge Clint Eastwood fan. He and his wife's sister and her husband, share the same anniversary date. Different years, same date. And as a result, they go on vacation together every year for their vacation. A few years ago, they ended up in Lake Tahoe. Beautiful spot, and they like it out there. So as they came in from the dock, there's a dock that sticks way out in the middle of the lake. And they walked out there, were watching the sunset and the beautiful sky and the beautiful water. And as they walked back down the dock, they came across, about halfway down the dock, a little fishing boat tied up at the side of the dock. And an older man and a younger man in the boat getting their gear out. And my friend walked over to him and he said, "Excuse me, would one of you be willing to take our picture? We're here on our anniversaries and we love a picture with the sunset behind us." And he's telling me this story. He says, the man in the boat, the older guy, looked up at the younger guy on the dock and said, "You'll have to do that because I got my arms full." Clint Eastwood, in the boat. And he says he came out, his grandson took the picture for us, and he said, "I was so cool, Leon. I was so cool. I walked down the whole wharf, walking next to Clint Eastwood, talking to him. And he wanted to know where we were from, and I told him. And he said, 'Oh, Cincinnati's beautiful.' And he says, he told me, 'I'm from Carmel, just down the road a little ways.' And he said, we walked all the way down the dock, and he said, 'I was so cool. I didn't make a nut of myself. I didn't make a fool of myself. It was so cool.'" And I said, "Joe, you're sitting here in the shop at this TV station telling us this story about how cool you are." I said, "You know what Clint Eastwood is doing right now?" "What?" I said, "He's sitting in a cafe in Carmel saying, 'I was with this kid from Cincinnati who was so stupid he didn't even know who I was.'" And Joe, it just devastated him to think that Clint Eastwood might think that of him. But you see, I tell that silly little story, and that's what it is, to make this point. Joe was in awe of Clint Eastwood and approached him trying to be cool. Are we in awe of God? Do we approach Him not trying to be cool, but acknowledging He's God? Do we praise God? Jesus says that's how we need to begin our prayer. That's how we need to begin our approach to God, is with praise. Hallowed be your name. Our second P is purpose, verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Purpose. Whose purpose are we approaching God with? Our purpose or His? His will be done. Not only are you God, and we acknowledge you as God, and we know you are God, and we're willing to stand up and say we can't begin to understand your might, your majesty, but we want and desire the same thing that you want, God. We're going to center our hearts and center our lives and center our efforts on achieving your goals, your will. What's the focus of our lives? What's the focus of our activities? Who's in charge? Are we doing what we can do to make sure that God's will is done? That things happen the way God wants it done? Or are we struggling against what God wants done? Are we seeking our own interests instead of God's? Jesus told us in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, do what I tell you to do. Focus on God's purpose, not on our purpose. Sometimes our own selfish interests go against what God wants. And we need to acknowledge, and we need to focus, and we need to put our effort into, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We also need to focus on provision. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Provide for our needs, God. Please continue to provide for our needs. Everything we have comes from God. Everything we have is His to start with. I noticed one of the things that really impressed me about this group of Christians when I came here, it's a little thing, but you notice what we have over here on the board? It says, offering today. This is a personal thing with me. I don't like it when the board says contribution, because that sounds like we are giving something to God. We're only offering God what belongs to Him. The only reason I have money to give God, to give God's work here on this earth, is because He gave it to me. The only reason I have strength in my arms or my voice or my ability to speak or my ability to think is because God gave it to me. I read a story just a couple of weeks ago about a man, not in the United States, I believe it was in South Africa, where they brought him in. He was in the hospital and they said, we're going to have to put you on, you've got COVID. You're not breathing. We're going to have to put you on oxygen. Now you understand that the insurance is going to pay for the, it's expensive. This oxygen is going to cost you about $100 a day, but the insurance will cover it. He broke down in tears. And they said, no, don't worry about the cost. The insurance will cover it. He said, it's not the cost that bothers me. He said, I just realized that you're giving me air at $100 a day, and God for 73 years has been giving it to me free. What a gift. What a gift. God provides what we need. He's providing for us everything that we need and everything that we have. And He does so because He loves us. In Matthew 7, beginning in verse 7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone?
Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent.
Look at verse 11. If you then, being evil, I know you, your people, your men, your women, your humans, you don't do things the way you should. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those that ask him? Our Father gives us everything. And we need to acknowledge that. And he continues to give us what we need. And by saying, give us this day our daily bread, Jesus is telling us, I believe, you are now acknowledging that that daily bread comes from God. How many of us get down on our knees at night and pray to God and say, thank you, Lord, for this air that I'm breathing? But as basic as that is, it comes from God. He's making provision for us. Oh, we need to be clear that we are getting what we need. Not necessarily what we want, because too often what we want is for ourselves. Look at both chapters, chapters 4 and 5 of James tell us that we'll get what we need and we'll get what we ask for. And when we don't, it's because either it's contrary to God's will or it's not what we need, contrary to our good. Or James says it's because you ask for your own selfish desires. Now, I don't mean we shouldn't ask for things that we want. I want my grandkids to move to Searcy. The Lord is answering that prayer. At least two of them are moving. They're going to be here in a couple of weeks. And I've been praying for that. But that's not because I want something for my selfish, spend it on myself, take care of myself to the detriment of the Lord. I think we can ask for things that we want. God may say no. He may say not now. Sometimes he says yes, if it's consistent with his will. It comes back to whose will is to be done. If we're asking for our own selfish desires, we're not putting God's will first. So yes, ask for provision. Ask for those things that we need. Ask God to continue to pray to provide those, because in doing so, we acknowledge that they're coming from him. In verse 12, we ask for pardon. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Forgiveness of what we owe. We all have debts, not just for sin, but the debt that sin brings about, the things that occur as a result of those debts. We owe a debt because Jesus paid the price. One of my grandfathers owned a small corner grocery store in his town in Northern California, North Central California. And he had a box underneath the counter. This is pre-computer days. I know some of you don't understand that, but there was a time we didn't have computers. There was a time when it was all done with pencils on paper. And in this box, he had these little account books, little bitty books that he would pull out. And when somebody came in, some kid came in from down the street and said, Mama told me to get a dozen eggs and a quart of milk. He'd say, go get it. And he'd pull out the book and he'd write down in the book the name, what they got, and the price. At the end of the week or the end of the month, Mom or Dad one would come in and look at the books and pay up and settle the accounts, because they knew they owed a debt. There were some people in town that he knew couldn't pay that debt. Dad was out of work, or Dad was injured, or Mom was sick. And my grandfather knew that there were some people that just couldn't pay those debts. And I've watched him when they came in to settle up the debt, the monthly tally. He'd take that book out and look through it, and he'd add everything up. And I knew it added up to $30, $40, $50. And he'd look at him and say, well, you Didn't buy much this month, $3.85. Their pride was saved. He was able to help them. But what he was doing was forgiving a debt. Now, who owed the debt? My grandfather didn't know it. He ended up having to pay the guy that brought the milk. He paid the guy that brought the eggs. He paid the bakery that brought the bread. They didn't give it to him free. He paid the debt that the family owed for groceries. And you see, that's the illustration of what Jesus did for us. And that's the forgiveness, the pardon that we need to ask for. Because we were in debtor's prison. We haven't had debtor's prison in this country in a long time. Except student loans and taxes, that's as close as you can get. Debtor's prison meant that you, if you couldn't pay the bill, you went into the prison and you stayed in that dark, dank, damp prison until you paid the bill, which you had no way of earning money to pay. You were in and you couldn't get out. Well, that's where we were with sin. Jesus paid that debt. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we'd be in big trouble if that's where it ended, but it didn't. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:3, I've delivered to you that first of all that which I've also received, that Christ died for our sins. He paid that debt. He forgave us. He gave us a pardon. Notice also that we are told in this example prayer, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Like we forgive our debtors. In other words, God, do for us what we do for others. There's a conditional in there. If I expect God to forgive me of my sins, to grant pardon for my sins, I need to grant others pardon for their wrongs. They go together. I may have shared with you before, many years ago, I was wronged in the business world. Falsely accused, threatened with arrest, threatened with prison. It got ugly. It got real ugly. And the man who did all this was doing everything he could do to be ugly to me and to my family. And this went on for a year. It was one of the darkest, hardest, most difficult times in our lives. Because here I was under court order to work with this man. And he was doing everything he could to destroy me and to destroy my family. As my British friends say, he was not a very nice sort of fellow. I was relating that story in a Sunday school class one time, several years later. And as I was telling the story, I was getting upset. Because it hurt. It hurt badly. And it was emotional. And I was still angry some 2-3 years later. And as I finished telling this story, one of the young men in the class looked at me and he said, Leon, this sounds like he was just a really nasty, ugly, horrible person. I said, yeah, he was. As far as I know, he still is. A nasty, ugly, horrible, mean, vindictive, not a nice person. And the young man asking me the question said, you know, wow. He said, I got to tell you, that's not the kind of person I would be willing to go to hell for. I felt like he'd hit me in my stomach. All the wind went out. Wow. I've been letting that guy, with his sins and his mistreatment and his nastiness, affect my opportunity to go to heaven. Jesus says we need to ask God to forgive us, to pardon us as we forgive, as we pardon others. Let it go. Let it be gone. Verse 13, we are to ask for protection. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You see, the reality is we can't survive on our own. Oh, I know the John Wayne syndrome says we want to be out there and we want to stand tall and protect ourselves and take care of it ourselves, but the reality is we can't do it by ourselves. Like a child, we're vulnerable. We will be tempted. And if we're by ourselves, we will be in trouble. We need to be delivered, removed from the danger, and taken to safety. John 17:15, Jesus says, he's talking to God, and he says, I don't pray that you should take them, that's us, his followers, out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Protect us. Don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us, please, God. I can't do it by myself. I can do all things, however, through Christ who strengthens me. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation is overtaking you except such as common to man, but God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You see, I can't do it by myself, but with God, I can do it. And I need your protection, God. We're told the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's after us. He's trying to get us. And Jesus is telling us we need to ask God for protection. Keep us safe, Father. Protect us. The devil's on the attack, but we need to be standing firm, and we need to have God's help, and we need to have his protection. Jesus says we need to ask him for it. We need to pray for protection. And then verse 13, he comes back full circle to praise. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Our Lord's example and his instruction in how to pray has us beginning our approach to God with praise and ending our conversation to God with praise. I think maybe that's because we need to remind ourselves of just how powerful he is. I like the movie Rudy because it's an inspirational movie. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to watch it. It's not strictly factually true, I'm told, but it's pretty close. But there's a line in that movie, a little short scene where one of the priests is talking to Rudy and he says one of the few things I've heard priests get exactly right, because they need to study scripture more. But in this, he got one thing right. He says, Rudy, he says, over my long life, I've learned two things. There is a God, and I'm not him. We need to acknowledge that God is God. And it's so important that Jesus tells us when you talk to God, start with praising him and acknowledging who he is and his might and power and majesty. Hallowed be your name. And when you get through, end with that, reminding yourself that you know that God is great, that there is a God, that he is in control. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us we need to pray without ceasing. We need to be prayerful. We need to spend a lot of time in prayer. We need to spend a lot of time talking to God, and we need to do it properly. I don't know where your prayer life is right now, but I hope it's spending time with God. And I hope those few minutes spent tonight is going to help you to improve your prayer life. Understanding how Jesus teaches us to approach God. Yes, it's basic, but we need to remember the basics. We need to know and remind ourselves of the things that are important, because on those basics are built everything. Is your prayer life where it should be? Is your life where it should be? If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, respond. Let's stand and sing the song. I ask you and beg you and plead with you to respond to the invitation of our Lord.